Okay, we're on the. We're in Brachos Chof Beis Amid Beis. We're in the Sugya, which is the next to last line from the bottom of Chof Beis Amid Beis. Hayomid Betzila Mayim Shoftim Al Birkov. We will be in that Sugya, God willing, for a while. It's a very important Sugya. And as an introduction to the Sugya, we learned it already last time. It talks about if a person in the middle of davening, and for some reason he's forced to urinate. So it says that posek achiyichol amayim lecholzim is follow. So then that we stop while urinating and then you continue davening. Then there's machlokes in the Gemara whether or not from where you continue, which is what we talked about. We talked about that. We also talked about what happens if you waited in the interim. It's shohak de'elizmor is kula. Now we're going to focus on a different part of this story. The story says the mice and the Gemara says that while mayim is shosus in loal birkov, you're posek. You have to stop, and then once apparently you're finished, you're continue davening. The lashon of the Gemara is chozer mitzvalo. Doesn't say anything about
changing
your clothes. You've got urine maybe on the floor. There's anything about machik dal damos. Just you seem to continue just going on davening. It was a very strange thing. So I thought there are three or four different approaches among Rishonim to explain this. We're not going to do all of them, but we will do a couple. And before we do them, I thought we could use a little bit of an introduction. I don't know if you feel compelled to do this, but what I've given you on the handout is just the psukim in Parshas Ki Tsetse that the isur of davening when you're in the presence of Tsoa or Meiraglayim or when you're exposed to Erva are enumerated in these psukim. Simple pshat, the isur of davening when you're in a place where there's Meiraglayim or Tsoa is because of the pasuk of Ahoya Machanecha Kodosh. And the ether of davening in a place where you're exposed to an erva is lo yeyura ebucha ervas dava. Those are all over here in this pasuk. These psukim, so you can go through them over here.
Yes,
you have to speak to Professor Frankel about that. This sugi that we're learning about is talking about where you're exposed to Meiraglayim, okay? Meiraglayim, what's the status in general of Meiraglayim? Is it considered like Tsoa that's included in these sukim over here? So, in order to know that, you have to learn a little sugi over here. If you turn it to Chof Hei, Amid Aleph, and you go to, you see what it says, Hagos Agro, all the way on the right-hand margin? You go across from there, it says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Suffolk Soa Asura Suffolk Meiraglayim Mutarim. Okay? So do that sugi and do it all the way down to one, two, three, four, five, six, seven narrow lines up. The last word, the first one in the line is Shematfichin. What this sugi is going to talk about is what's the status of Meiraglayim. Is Meiraglayim the same as Tsoa or not? Okay? That's that. Sugya, when you finish that, do this little Tosos back on Chof Beis. You start from Amar Rav Yehuda Suffolk Tsoa Surah Suffolk Meiraglayim Mutarim and go down to the word Shema Tfichin.
Is
11 lines, 12 lines.
What's
the first one? The two of them. So we'll go one line above. Which line?
Which one?
Okay, then what I'd like you to do is, so that's just to tell you what the din of Meiraglayim is. What's the requirement for davening in a makom of Meiraglayim? Then I'd like to go back to Chof Beis Amid Beis and do the Tosfos Matin Ad Sheyichlu Hamayim. See the bottom Tosfos over there? And he talks specifically about the problem we mentioned. How can you just continue davening? What about being marchik from the Meiraglayim? Tosfos talks about it. And then I'd like you to go into your handouts, the first page, the Chiddushi HaRashba. The Chiddushi HaRashba has another, it deals with the same problem as Tosfos. How can you continue davening? And he gives an explanation for it. And of this explanation, there's amazing chur of Moshe, which is what the rest of the handout is all about. Rav Moshe, it's an extremely lumdish tshuva. Of course, Rav Moshe didn't write it just as an exercise in lumdus. He wrote it to deal with a very significant halachic shaila that was asked him. What is the halacha if a person has a catheter inserted and he's got obviously this urine in the cable tube, and there's a collection, a bag of some sort. Can this person daven and say Krishma? What can this person do? So he, based on his chat and his Rashba, among other things, it's a very unusual Rav Moshe, in that Rav Moshe is usually, he's a posek, and it's usually makes all kinds of very tight, complex calculations, but this is a lumdish Rav Moshe who applies it to halacha, and he has this lumdish pshat in the Rashba, and he takes that lumdish pshat and uses it in a lumdish way in order to explain the shita of the Rashba. And again, if you can go through, it's a fairly long, Rav Moshe, this is a short shuva Rav Moshe, and I didn't give you the whole shuva either, but it's very fascinating, and it happens to be so relevant to understanding pshat in our sugya that I felt I couldn't pass it over. So I could have said it differently, and I specifically didn't. So again, do the refresh your memory about the sugya over here of Hoya Omi Ditfila O Mayim Shosasin on Chav Bez Med Bez. Do that sugya on the Chav Hey Amid Aleph, which talks about Mayrek Lion. Do the Tosos, do the Rashba, and then do the tshuva of Moshe gave. If you want to go through the psukim, it's not necessary. If you feel you know what the psukim are talking about, you don't have to do it. But I gave you the psukim, I gave you Rashi, and I gave you Targum on the puzzle.